50 here on 1010 WOLB. Presently 68 degrees. Showers expected through today. Low of 70 tonight. High of 85 here on 1010 WOLB. The Larry Young Morning Show Special Edition. Civil Rights Advocacy. The need for the voice. Someone to speak up for the voiceless. Someone to talk about empowerment. Someone to talk about the love and uniting us together. Who cares enough to try? My question was, for several years, two decades or so, there's some good work that's been done on the east side. But the leadership, the elected leadership, met collectively and told the folks there, stop what you're doing. We've assessed what you've been doing. And truth be told, you have not been including us, even though you made promises for two decades. Don't build another thing until we're sitting at the table as full partners. Concern here is that thankfully they did just that. But why were the organizations such as yours quiet? And if you weren't quiet, correct me right now.
I'd like to speak from the Doc Cheatham from the National Action Network. And I would like to say the chickens have come home to roost. I was pleased that we were invited, the National Action Network, to the press conference that they had. And I was honored to stand with the leaders in East Baltimore. But if the truth be told, some of those very leaders, at least two that I know of, sat on the board of directors of that mess over in East Baltimore. The majority of those that stood during the press conference received funds from those same organizations, those same institutions that had done a disservice to East Baltimore. They were a part of the problem. Let's be candid. They received funds from those same organizations and businesses that basically moved those citizens out of East Baltimore to all over the place. So the chickens came home to roost. You know, the only thing I would forewarn us throughout the city, that the same thing is about to happen in West Baltimore. University of Maryland has some of the same plans that Johns Hopkins has. It's to move us out of our communities, move their folks who don't look like us, who don't live in this city, into our communities and make money off of us. I would happy to say that when I was with the NAACP to speak up, at least for them, when I was president, we were the organization that spoke out about Johns Hopkins and the compost, putting the stuff on people's lawns, when the leaders of East Baltimore did not say anything. So I don't think it is much the civil rights organization's responsibility. You have elected officials that were elected and that are paid to represent East Baltimore, and they sold their community out, if truth be told.
This is Jay Howard from the Greater Baltimore Urban League. As I said earlier, we worked on that project for a number of years before we were kicked off of it. But I can tell you that from our standpoint, the Urban League standpoint, we had meetings with two prominent members of the council from the east side and alerted them a few years back to what was going on over there. We left a lot of documents with them. We talked to them in private about a lot of different things. And hopefully some of that had something to do with them finally taking a stand on that project. So we had provided some information to the two of the council members from the east side, and we can verify that. Now we didn't go out and make a public statement on it, but we did make them aware of some of the issues that were going on over there.
This is Tessa Hill, president of Baltimore City Branch NAACP. My involvement was only when Doc was the president, which he already just mentioned. I was his vice president. And so when he did some things and we did some things, it was under his leadership that we did have meetings and go to East Baltimore on some of these issues. But I would like to give kudos to the residents, because a few months ago and earlier late last year, the residents, and this year, did a protest and march. It was the residents that really got the fire under some of these people and said, we've had enough is enough. So it took the residents after all these years, and the residents have been displaced. Some of the residents that probably took part were from other neighborhoods now, because they were displaced and had to leave. So I think they were absolutely right to put the fire under this thing and get it going, because no community should have big development coming in and the residents have already been displaced from their homes, some of them torn down, some of them have not been able to move back, and they're unemployed. So I'm glad it happened, but I think the residents pushed the button to get it going. And if we have to do that in West Baltimore, then we need to start looking at it now so it won't get that long and so far.
Amen. I completely agree with the president, actually. It is very critical to pay homage to Community Churches United. We've been working very intimately with that particular group. That is the group that's been holding the protest in the demonstrations in East Baltimore. They pushed the East Baltimore delegation to take a position on this particular issue. In fact, EBDI has been using intimidation tactics and harassment and a host of different other tactics to push the people in a direction of not advocating for this issue. One of the police brutality cases we're working on is with Thomas Threat, who was one of the demonstrators who was beaten by several BCPD officers in Eastern District. So they're using a lot of different tactics, but the power is with the people, and we have to rise up and work together to promote change. The NAACP in one of the chapters in Michigan took on the Whirlpool Corporation, and they took them on very strongly because Whirlpool was outsourcing jobs and they were doing development in the neighborhoods that was contrary to the will of the people. And the president over there, Edward Pinckney, he had showed enough courage and leadership that he led a recall campaign to get rid of all of the sellout politicians that Doc Cheatham was talking about. He got rid of 5 to 6 politicians who were taking orders from Whirlpool as opposed to representing the interest of the people in those districts. And that's what we need to do here. But power comes with the people, and as I stated before, it comes from the bottom up and not the top down.
Good morning, panelists and everyone. I'm Leo Burrows, Jr., president and founder of the Roots of Scouting, Incorporated, a 501c3 organization. Basically, let me say that I don't know where the Interdenominational Ministers Alliance is today. I don't know where BUILD is today, the Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development. But I must tell you that the chickens have come home to roost, and a lot of lies are being told, and a lot of people don't have the courage of their convictions. What I'm suggesting to you, and I'm asking you to respond to my suggestion, is that twice annually, biannually, those of you who are on the panel today, convene a town hall meeting or an assembly. We can call it Speak with One Voice, at which time the public is accessible. We will know twice every 6 months, we will know where you are. We will hear what you have to say. You will give us a progress report, and the public will ask questions and will grow as a result of the unity that you're trying to affect in our community. We must do this. It must be transparent, and we must do it regularly so that folks understand that unity is the goal. I didn't say perfect unity. I said operational unity, and that's the way I want to go, and I want to hear you comment on that.
I like the suggestion, Brother Leo. That's a strong one. Yes, sir.
Yeah, hello, audience and family panelists. LY, Larry Mung, Young Morning Show, and give a big shout out because it's one of the. I'm a major supporter. This is Wayne Orr Munroe from the Patrick Henderson's Meet the People, and what I recognize some of the major issues is. Well, first I'm gonna backtrack real quick, make it quick, because I'm gonna go over what the brother Henderson said earlier, that it's not the parent's fault. It is your fault, parent. If your kids can't read before they get to school at the age of 5, it's your fault. You know what I mean? Yes, and everybody up here, it is your fault too. When we get together at the Trayvon Martin March, when I watch leaders from every organization up here argue over who's going to speak over the mic, half of the crowd left. I have it on film. You see what I'm saying? This is what messes the people up. This is what messes all of us up, because we are not connected. You know what I'm saying? We can't charge none of these politicians for doing nothing if we are not doing nothing. Period. At the end of the day, I have just so much information behind why our children are this way, because they see the parents this way. You know what I mean? So if we're not going to buckle down and stay tight as the frogs behind these issues, you know what I'm saying? Then what's the point of all of us sitting up here? We can sit and preach and spew out all this. I was watching Good Times last night. The same issues was raised in the 1970s that we're raising right now. Unemployment, education, women's rights, gay rights, civil rights, the same issues for over 30 years. And we still up here having a panel about, you know what I mean, what the problem is. Don't we know what the problem is? Let's go and find these solutions. Thank you.
I know we can't be at all meetings all over the place, but in fact, what you asked for has in fact started. 2 weeks ago, matter of fact, even last week as well, I think it's 18 organizations have now come together under the leadership of Dr. Ron Daniels out of New York. He was here 2 weeks ago. 18 of those groups came together and had a major discussion. Dr. Ron Daniels was here last week at Sojourner Douglas, and we actually agreed to do exactly what you said. Dr. Daniels is doing this in three major cities: Pittsburgh, Washington, D.C., and the city of Baltimore. I'm happy to say that we are, in fact, a part of that. So maybe you foretold what, in fact, has, in fact, happened. Dr. Ron Daniels is leading that here in Baltimore, though he's from out of New York.
And these all folks are involved?
All of the organizations that are civil rights and human rights organizations have been invited. And it was 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, Juan Valentine was here. Matter of fact, I'm glad Catalina Byrd is here because she can justify the fact that that is, in fact, what has happened. What you asked for is happening.
Thank you, Doc. And I had to run back to the mic real quick because Doc Cheatham and Larry Young are the only names that I've seen that have been moving this city, and they're the people feet who I see moving this city. You know what I'm saying? So if everybody can take and jump on these bandwagons, let's roll. Period.
Approaching 9 o'clock here on 1010 WLB. When I come back up, other than some of the other folks who are on the line want to speak, some of the guests that are here that might want to speak, I want to ask each of you, give me the most immediate thing that must be done to improve this city. Short term must be done, and long term, each of you, when we come back on the other side, what are these three things? The most immediate that needs to be done, short term, long term, in 90 seconds or less, each of you respond to that, not to mention the other guests who might want to have a word with us. Here on 1010 WOLB, it's 9 o'clock.